Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Before we get into tithes and offerings, I just can't get past this. I just feel like the Lord wants to remind us in this place and continuing on with the God having a plan. I believe that there are seeds in you that you need to water and nourish. I believe there are people in this room that are going to be doing things that you didn't think you would ever do. Because time is short and we still need your gift. You know, sometimes people can say, well, I'm past my prime. You're never past your prime in the Lord. Older generation, listen to me. God has put something in your hearts and he wants to use that to touch the world. You may say, I'm only one person. We were watching a documentary on the national forests. And do you know that it was one man's dream? Mr. Muir. One man's dream to see the national resources that we had to be able to be kept and saved for future generations. That they would be this monument that people would be able to come and visit. And it was because of one man's dream that he influenced another influential man. Anybody know President Roosevelt? And because of his influence, Mr. Muir's influence on Mr. Roosevelt, we have national forests. Did you know that? Yosemite, Yellowstone, there's a whole list of them. The Grand Canyon, areas in our country. And do you know how old Mr. Muir was when he took President Roosevelt out? President Roosevelt was in his 60s, and Mr. Muir was in his late 60s, early 70s. He wasn't a young guy. He was an old guy with a dream, amen? And his dream he refused to let go of, and it changed our nation. There are things that God has placed in your hearts, and you need to rekindle them. If you've forgotten them, allow the Lord to stir them up. What does Paul tell Timothy? Stir up the gift that's in you. Stir up that gift that is in you. You may say, well, I don't have a gift. Yes, you do. Each of us has been measured something. So ask the Lord what it is. Why? You know, I'm not qualified to. It's not about the world's qualifications. It's about the Lord's qualifications. And if just one person will step out and do what God has called them to do, who knows what lives you can touch. Amen? So say it with me. I am not old. I am young in the Lord. I have dreams, visions, gifts, and talents that I will use for him. It is not too late. It is not too late. One more time. It is not too late. Today is the day. Amen. Thank you, Father. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So our tithes and offerings, that was a bonus, but our tithes and offerings, we are doing a new series called Living in the More Than Enough. And when I was looking for pictures, I know that a plate full of cookies this big is probably not the best for us, but it's just that idea of, wow, that is definitely more than enough cookies, right? More than enough than even one person could possibly eat probably in one setting. More than enough. But there is a reason why I feel like the Lord wants to show us that we need more than enough. If you have your Bibles, open up to Genesis 13. And in this account, it's the story of Abram and Lot. And we'll see a couple things in Abraham's life. But right now we're dealing with him before the Lord changes his name. But he had chosen to follow after the Lord, and he left behind the idols. He left behind the things that he had grown up with, and he chose to step forward and walk with the Lord. And it says in verse 1 that Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot, who was his nephew, with him to the south. Abraham was very rich. Say, very rich. He had more than enough in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. So he's been walking around, and he comes back to this place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. So we know that he had talked to the Lord before. And the place where he went, if you've never studied out a terebinth tree, this is really cool. Because you'll hear this a lot in Genesis, that people go to a terebinth tree. In the natural realm, terebinth trees were known for being places where you would receive visions. They were places of understanding or enlightenment. Okay, so in the natural, it was already something that the world saw. So Abraham has only been with the Lord a short time, but he understands that there is a connection between being in this place of this terebinth tree, and there's a connection between him hearing from God in this place. Amen? And so he's here at this place, and he seeks the Lord again. That's the important thing. It doesn't matter how much wealth you have, you need to be seeking the Lord all the time. That's an important fact here, okay? Having more than enough doesn't mean you stop your conversation with the Lord. No, it means you're talking to him even more. Amen? And so he's talking to the Lord. Lord also went with Abram, and he had flocks and herds and tents. Now, listen to this. Now, the land was not able to support them dwelling together. Somebody say hallelujah. How awesome would it be to tell your neighbors, I have to move because we can't live here because I'm getting too much. That's awesome, right? There was too much. The land could not support them. There wasn't enough grass. There wasn't enough water. There just wasn't enough to support them. Now, here's the important thing. In verse 8, Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Wait. Did he just put this in Lot's hands? But Abraham's the eldest, right? Shouldn't he be the one making this next decision? But he doesn't. Why? Listen to this. Abraham didn't have to worry about where he ended up because he had more than enough. When you have more than enough, you don't have to worry about getting cheated. Because you have more than enough. You don't have to worry about the boss calling you in and saying, well, I'm choosing between you and you. You don't have to worry about speaking up for yourself. You don't have to worry about trying to vindicate yourself and make yourself look better than the other person because you have more than enough. It takes away the whole level of competition because you have more than enough. That changes the whole dynamics of relationships, right? When you have more than enough, there isn't this fighting, this I need to be here so that I can position myself to get this. And when you have more than enough, you don't even notice if you need more. Amen? And so he presents to Lot, he says, look, we got all this land before us. Pick which one you want. Can you imagine how much Abraham had to have to be able to say to Lot, pick whichever one you want? Because you read further, and it says part of the land was a desert, and part of the land was a Garden of Eden. And he gives Lot the choice. He didn't have to. Being the eldest, he could have said, this is mine, and that's yours. Go our separate ways. And nobody would have thought the wiser. But the Lord needed Redeemed Church in 2025 to understand when you are living in the more than enough, you don't have to make those decisions because they're not based on someone upping you one. Amen? Because there isn't a competition. He needed us to know that. And Abraham didn't worry about whether he got the desert or the promised land. He knew he had more than enough. And so he presents it to Lot, and Lot chooses, and they part without strife. Ah, here it is, without strife. We don't want strife in our lives. Why is strife not good? Because it says where there is strife, there's evil. I don't know about you, but that's becoming more and more of a reality in my life. We don't want evil to have a door. Amen? So we don't want strife in our families, in our extended families, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our states, in our country. But when you have more than enough, Money doesn't matter. Now you may think, well, what does that have to do with strife? Everything. How many families have you heard of that go from being this amazing, loving family, and the matriarch or the patriarch dies, and it comes time to divide up everything, and strife literally destroys them. Destroys them. I can't even tell you how many stories I've heard of that. Why? Money. Money. The love of money is the root of all evil. But if you have more than enough, that doesn't hold you. Do you see why this is so important? It's important for us to have more than enough, because I'm trying to break through the religions and their traditions and even the things that sometimes we're uncomfortable with. Very rich. Ooh. Hello, you are part of Abraham's seed. He has passed down his blessing generation after generation after generation, and you have been grafted in, and you are part of the next generation. So we should have more than enough. Why is it important to have more than enough? So you avoid strife. Money doesn't hold you anymore. So when decision times come, when there are times where your places that normally there'd be the tendency to try to make yourself known, you know, hello, I'm over here, right? Because you need something, that doesn't exist. Now, it doesn't always mean that our bank accounts are full. I'm believing for that day. But when you are a tither and a child of God, you are guaranteed more than enough. Why? Because your heavenly Father provides for you. It doesn't matter whether the choice is the desert or the promised land. Relax. Relax. If he needs to, he'll do something supernatural in the desert and produce a harvest for you. Amen? Because sometimes the promised land and the land that looks the best isn't always the greatest. Amen? And Lot chose by what he saw, not based on what the Lord put on his heart. Big difference, right? And we know the rest of the story for Lot, and it's not a good story. Amen? Amen? If you think about it, he went from owning so much that he couldn't live with Abraham to, when we read about his story next, he's just living in town with everybody else. What happened to the everything that he had? You see what I'm saying? That's why you have to keep talking to the Lord. But we have more than enough in our lives as tithers and givers so that we can stay out of strife, that we can even bless others with the option to choose. Now you go ahead and choose. What? You want me to choose? Absolutely. I got the Lord. I got more than enough. And there's another reason why, because, you know, it's a plate full of cookies. If you have that many cookies, you just want to share. Right? That was Abraham's heart. He had so much. He had so much. He wanted to share that with Lot. That's the difference. One wants to take and one wants to share. When you have more than enough, you're able to share. Amen? This is going to be a good series. Living in the more than enough. So every time you see a cookie from now on, I'm praying, you see this picture and you grab that cookie and you go, I got more than enough. I got more than enough. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you so much for your word today. We thank you for this new series that we're going to be going into. And Father, we thank you for the examples that you've given us in your word. We thank you, Lord, for the examples of more than enough and living in that place of more than enough. Not just more than enough for just one blip, one season, but more than enough for a lifetime is what we saw in Abraham's life. And Father, I pray that we would be reminded of that as we go into this week. When there are opportunities, Father, when there's chances for people to maybe get something before us or have more favor, help us to have this mentality of, hey, my plate's full. Go right on ahead. Go right on ahead. Share with them the opportunity for wealth. Because, God, we know the more we give, the more you will bless. And we know that as we talk with you, Father, and as we give our tithes and our offerings, you'll open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing we can't even contain anyway. So I pray, Father, we would change our thinking where money is concerned. More than enough is not a negative. More than enough is a positive. And we praise you for that more than enough, Father. We pray you would prepare our hearts and our minds and our bank accounts and our mentalities for the more than enough living. And we give you all the praise today. Bless every seed that is sown and bless the sower in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for the gifts and the talents that you have placed in every person's life, Father, in every person's lives in this place today. But especially, Father, for those who are older in this room, I thank you for those gifts that are coming out in Jesus' name. And we're going to see the biggest tidal wave, Father. The biggest tidal wave of gifts being flourished in their lives that we've ever seen before. And we give you the praise and the glory for the works that not only you have started, but the works you will finish in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. You know the best thing about this cookie plate is, look at this one right here. That's one solid cookie. I'll share the rest of them, but that one's mine. Oh, wow. Let's make a confession of faith over our giving. Just say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my finances. Harvesting angels, I send you out to the north, south, east, and west. I call in my harvest. I receive the blessing of God manifesting in every area of my life. And use our giving, Father, to get the gospel preached around the world that someone else can be saved, delivered, and healed. Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God a big shout of praise this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Tithing and offering is a time of celebration. Amen. Or we could say a shellybration, right? Thank you for just bringing us the word every week, Pastor Shelley. We love it. And by the way, you look beautiful today. Amen. Let's open our Bibles today, and we'll pray over this word. We're going to open our word to, we'll pray first, but it'll be Exodus chapter 20. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. Say, I have eyes that see. I have ears that hear. I have a heart that responds to what you tell me today, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. And then take your Bible and hold it up. Hold up your sword, if you have your sword, and just say, I can do whatever this book says I can do. I am whoever this book says I am. I can have whatever this book says I can have. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise, praise, praise the Lord forevermore. Well, we're going to open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, and we'll read that in just a moment. But we're continuing this message entitled God's Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. Hallelujah. They're not called the Ten Suggestions, the Ten Ideas, right? The Ten Opinions. No, the Ten Commandments, right? And in Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40, a lawyer is talking to Jesus, and he asks him a question, testing him, and saying, he says, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love. Somebody say, love. Right? So this, really, the Ten Commandments, everything God says is all about love. Say, it's all about love. Everything Jesus did at the cross, right? Everything he ever did, every word ever written in this book is because there is a God in heaven who loves you. And he doesn't want you to perish. Amen. Glory to God forever, or anyone to perish. No race, no nationality. You know, the devil likes to use nationalities and male and female, you know, to create divisiveness and strife. Amen? But there's one nation. There's a born-again nation. right? In heaven, there is any nationality that's ever been is in heaven. Because the only distinction is, are you saved? Are you born again? What have you done with Jesus Christ? Amen? So this is a love thing we're talking about. It's not a legalism thing. It's not legality and do's and don'ts and wills and won'ts. It's about love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first. Say the first, right? And great commandment. Now, if we're in the habit of loving God, then loving people will just be a natural flow, an outflow of our love for God. And like we were talking about with nationalities and male and female, that kind of stuff is solved instantly if we're in the habit of loving God. Because then he says this, and the second commandment is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So I would present this to you that if we are going to love our neighbor effectively, that would include anyone on this planet, then it flows out of our love for the Lord, our love for the truth. And there are many that would try to take that and reverse it and say, no, 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 you need to love people first as an outflow of your love for people, then you'll be loving God. Well, that's backward. And that's where culture begins to take, you know, the throne, the leadership role in the church. Because, well, now we need to love people, so we should just be really light on what this says. And really emphasize just welcoming everyone, every culture, every identity, every, you know, philosophy. Just embrace it all because, you know, God, after all, God is a God of love. Well, being a God of love doesn't mean we just love every philosophy, every mindset, every belief system. Because right here the Bible tells us, how many of you, we should just stick with what the Bible says, right? We have to love him first. And loving him first means we love the truth first. We love the light first. Amen? And then because we love him first, now we have, like Shelley was talking about, we have an abundance, that abundance mindset to love other people. Amen. But loving someone else doesn't mean I'm going to follow everything that they say. Hallelujah. And, you know, leaders of the nation, leaders in politics and business and all these things, the mountains of societal influence, how many know it's good that Christians are involved in those things? And we love everybody, but it doesn't mean we do what everybody thinks we should do. Right? Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Because we're following Jesus. We're following the Good Shepherd. Hallelujah. But Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, go through the Ten Commandments. And the children of Israel had just come out of 400 years, really 200 years, of slavery and bondage and idolatry and a culture that had really imposed its will over them for all those years. And God is giving them their standards. You know, really the foundation of law and order for any civilization comes out of these commandments. Hallelujah. And it says this, we're just going to kind of go over the bullet points here, each one. But verse 3 says, you shall have no other gods before me. Verse 4 says, you shall not take for yourself a carved image. Amen. Verse 7 says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And we talked about that one last week, right, in some more detail. The next one, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's what we're going to emphasize today, right? The next one, honor your father and your mother. Hallelujah. And I was, you know, in my Torah portion yesterday, I was studying because Exodus 20 was actually part of the Torah portion this week. And I went into some research, and I'll share some of that regarding the Sabbath day, but from the Shemash, that's, you know, the Jewish mindset on the Torah. And it's amazing study. If you have the perspective of, you know, what the Word of God says, it's commentary, right? How many of you, if you read any book, you need to keep the Word of God as first and final authority in your mind before you go into study anybody's books? Right? There's some great books out there, but then sometimes you find something that's like, that ain't right. So you spit out the bones and you, you know what I'm saying? But one of the things that he said about, or that the Shamash brought up in terms of the honor your father and your mother, was that it is actually on the first five list of how we relate to God. The first five commandments have to do with my relationship to God. And the note in there was, honor your father and mother is in the first five. It's on the first tablet. Two tablets. First five, second five. The first five have to do with my relationship with God. And honor your father and mother is in the first five. Interesting. And when you think about it, it's like, who did God use to get you into the world? Right? So it's pretty amazing when you start studying some of these things out. But the next one, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and you shall not covet. Hallelujah. These are, you know, the Ten Commandments, God's Big Ten, the foundation of law and order lie in those commandments. Amen. But today we want to hone in on the commandment that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Somebody say, remember the Sabbath day, right? And you're all in the habit of doing that. You're in church, right? And church is definitely a big part of that. Glory to God, setting aside a day of worship. And again, the from the Shamash here, there's some great notes that I found out yesterday on the Sabbath. I'm just going to read through some of these things. The Sabbath is a constant reminder, and that word remember is really big with God, right? The Sabbath is a constant reminder. Say reminder, right? That God created. He created for 6 days and rested on the seventh. Amen. So every Sabbath day is a constant reminder to us that God is the creator. Amen. That he is in charge. That he is God. Amen. That since he worked for 7 days and rested on the seventh, we should not be in the habit of working 7 days a week. Hallelujah. Amen. And then they talked about setting aside things like for the Sabbath day, dressing a little nicer, setting aside some fine clothes, eating some fine food, studying the Torah, which is the Word of God, right? And committing to, you know, serving the Lord, the service of God, which is what we're all here doing today. Amen? So it's a special day, and it's a joyful day, a day of rest, a day of eating and studying and learning, dress, you know, have some special clothes that we wear. Amen. It's one of the amazing things with the Shamash is we're incorporating a lot of stuff from the Jewish mindset, which this is a Jewish book written by Jewish people for Jews, right? But also for the world, for the nations. There's portions of this book written to Israel. There's portions of this book written to the nations. And there's portions of this book written to the church, right? But there, I'm telling you, when we study out some of these things in Jewish culture and the mindset of a Jew, it enriches everything we already know and continue to learn. Because there's a running together. It's kind of like, it reminds me of walking along the ocean and you find these cool little rocks and seashells. Wow, look at this. This fits into this thing, you know, and this fits here, and it just enriches things that we already know. Amen? And to the Jewish mindset, those who are, you know, in Judaism, the Messianic Jew, Messianic meaning they've received Jesus as their Lord, they'll hear things that we're teaching and be like, oh, wow, I had never even considered that, right? I remember being in a Jewish woman's house. You know, I was doing a business service at her house on Passover. And she's going around cooking and doing all the things that they do for Passover. And she was like, do you know, we have no idea why we even do this. We just know we're supposed to do it. You know, so it's like you have the opportunity to share Jesus, and he's our Passover lamb, and it's like, oh, wow, there you go, right? So it's just really cool to hear some of these things. But the thing that I believe in a lot of Christianity, the specialness of the Sabbath has been lost, right? The specialness. Just come dressed however you want to dress. If you show up, maybe, maybe not. Maybe I don't feel like going to church today. Maybe, you know, I'd rather go fishing. I'd rather do this. I'd rather, you know, I'm saved. But no, no, we need to reclaim how special this is to God, the day. Hallelujah. And it doesn't mean there won't be occasions where you have to work or you have to do this. Or Jesus talked about that. If your donkey's in a ditch on the Sabbath, you're going to get it out, right? But as a rule, generally speaking, this is a time to set aside for God, right? To dress up a little bit, to set something aside, to have a meal ready. We're not doing all our grocery shopping on Sunday. We've got a crock pot going with something, you know, and we're just in the habit of resting. And we're not playing Little League on Sundays. And, you know, there's so many sports nowadays for kids that Sunday is just part of the schedule. No. Now, if there's an occasional, again, we don't mean legal, if there's an occasional tournament or a championship game, or, you know, okay, read it. But as a rule, Sunday, you know, the Sabbath time is for Jesus. Hallelujah. It's special. Somebody say special. Very, very, very special, right? And it's a time to set aside to hear the Word of God, to hear the Word of God taught, to hear the Word of God preached, to study the Word. Now, of course, every day, somebody say every day, we should be in the Word, not Sunday only. But there's something extra special about the Sabbath. Hallelujah. So it continues, we should live each day with Sabbath in mind. Somebody say, it sounds to me like Jesus is coming. Live each day like he could come today, right? But live each day like, you know what? Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Hallelujah. The Sabbath is coming with the Sabbath in mind. We refrain from practices that would diminish from the sanctity of the day. We touched on some of those things. Well, I could make 10,000 more a year if I just worked on Sunday and I could go to church online. And no, no, no. What you compromise to keep, you will lose. Amen. It's not worth $10,000 a year. Yeah, but they need me. Well, there's other people, believe me, that will do that. But if you're a believer, you ought to be setting aside the Sabbath day to be, you know, with God's family, with the church. Amen. So we refrain from practices that would diminish from the sanctity of the day. Hallelujah. Somebody say, clear your schedule. Our schedules tend to run our lives. We have these things now in our pockets that ding, beep, buzz, vibrate, you know. And you know what? The only place I could do that is on Sunday. Gonna have to, no. Somebody say, set aside the Sabbath. Hallelujah. It reminds us, it's a reminder that He, our God, is the ultimate provider. And I love that in the Shemash, they capitalized ultimate and provider. So I don't have to look to myself, to the business world, to working another 10 hours on that day, whatever, right? He's my provider. On Sabbath, there is a heightened capacity. Now, this is one of those nuggets I was talking about right here. This is from the Jewish perspective. Listen to this. It will change your life. And reemphasize why you're here today. On Sabbath, there is a heightened capacity to absorb more wisdom and insight. Ooh. Somebody say hallelujah. So if I don't show up, I'm missing something. I'm missing $10,000 a year. No, you're missing wisdom and insight that might make you a billionaire or get you healed. right? Or get someone else saved. Or get a church built. Hallelujah. Oh, Pastor Steve, that's legalism. No, no, it's righteousism. Hallelujah, right? I love that. I love that so much. So that gets me stirred up even more. When I come into the house of God and I hear something preached, man, there is a heightened capacity right now to absorb more wisdom and insight from my life. It raises our expectancy should be way, way, way higher. Right? Hallelujah. The Sabbath, it is the source of blessing for the rest of the week. I mean, when we miss a Sunday, we should feel it, right? It's like the week never ended. Those times when the devil was trying to shut us down. Stay home. Yeah, we did stuff online and all that kind of, but man, it felt like one continuous week. Because it's important to gather together. Amen? It's a source of blessing for the rest of the week. And it said, God created the world. Now, I love this too. This is amazing. I love this statement right here. God created the world to last only 6 days plus the Sabbath. And when you think about, to God, a day is as 1,000 years. Think about our God. Right? And we've taught on this before. We've got a message on YouTube called God's Calendar. There's a mystery hidden in some of these things, but he's revealing it to his people, right? And Jesus is our Sabbath rest. The Sabbath, in terms of world history, the Sabbath day, Jesus being our Sabbath rest, represents the seventh day, that 7,000th year, that seventh millennium, where there will be this thing on earth called the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Before that point is the 6 days, the 6,000 years leading up to his return and that 1,000-year reign. And I every week, therefore, is a reminder. This thing is going to change. This thing is about to change. Because just in terms of our world history, we are right at the cusp of the beginning of the seventh millennium. Somebody say, wow. See, seeing things from our Father's perspective makes it even more a good reason to remember. Every Sabbath day is a reminder. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Hallelujah. I love that so much. God created the world to last for only 6 days, plus the Sabbath. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. He's coming to fix it. Somebody say, the fix is on, right? And it says this, when we honor the Sabbath and you know, come together and do what we're doing, that spiritual energy to last another week, you get spiritual energy. Spiritual energy takes you higher, makes you go longer than the rest of the world does. You can endure things that other people will never be able to endure, because you have that spiritual energy on the inside of you brought by the Holy Ghost. Rabbi Joseph Shulam, my Torah portion. Rabbi Shulam, he's a messianic rabbi. And he talked about when they gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, that there were, you know, fire and pillars of smoke, and, you know, the mountain was literally just engulfed in the presence of God. Right? And he said it's a parallel of the story in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Ghost came into the upper room, and they're in the upper room. They went up the mountain. Moses went up the mountain, right? And in Acts chapter 2, everybody was gathered together. Jesus had rose again from the dead and said, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. And then fire came into that room, right? And the rushing wind. He said it's a parallel of the same story. That's why when we hear things like honoring the Sabbath brings a spiritual wave of energy. That's called the Holy Ghost, man. Right? The power of God just blowing right through you and just energizing you to just keep going. Somebody say, keep going. Hallelujah, right? Praise the name of Jesus forever. Well, let's look at Psalm chapter 92. I looked at it. I got a few examples here to get to you. Psalm chapter 92 is actually titled A Song for the Sabbath Day. And it says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night, on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, on the harp, with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Remember, 6 days he worked, right? Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. How many know at the end of the sixth day and the seventh day, there's an end to all evil? It's a reminder of that, right? But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. Behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. It's a reminder every week, evil is coming to an end. So don't be on the side of evil, right? Remember those old Roadrunner cartoons when Wile E. Coyote somebody would hand him an anvil and he would just, poof. How many of the answer is, part of the answer is release the anvil. So it's a reminder to just rid our own lives of anything that's evil, right? Your enemies, O Lord, shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Amen. Every week. Amen. My eye also has seen my desire, my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. It's a time of refreshing every week, right? And we can flourish. I have a little rose plant that I got for Shelley for our anniversary. And it was sitting outside because some people don't like the smell of flowers in my house, right? And through all the snowstorm, that thing is perfect. Like it was covered in snow and came out and it's still perfect. It's refreshed and it's flourishing even through winter conditions. That's a good example of the importance of honoring God, honoring the Sabbath. You get refreshed and you just simply continue and outdo all the evil out there, right? Fresh and flourishing. Somebody say, I am fresh and I am flourishing. Amen. And that may be offensive to some people because you are fresh and flourishing and they are stale and rotting. And all they have to do is turn to God, right? And that's what we're designed to do, is to point them to the same Jesus that saved us, right? And then it says, verse 15, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. There is no unrighteousness in him. You know, there's a lot of people, even Christians, that do not believe that. Oh, there's good and evil. He'll allow bad things. No. The reason something bad had happened in my life is because I let it in somewhere. There is no unrighteousness in him. Zero. Zero. This is a day that we remember that and we honor that. Amen. And we talk about it and we celebrate it. Turn to Matthew 12. Let's hear some things that Jesus had to say about the Sabbath. Matthew chapter 12. Hallelujah. And I believe there's times coming where we will linger longer in church. right? We're not just in a hurry to get out of here. Shut up and say amen. I got stuff to do. Right? We just let the Holy Ghost lead us. Amen? That's why we're believing for our own facility. So someone can't say, oh, time to go. There's another kegger coming up. No, right? Amen. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry, began to pluck the heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. And he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and he and those who were with him, how they entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, then you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man, this is the key right here, the Son of Man, Jesus, right, is Lord even of the Sabbath. Somebody say, the Sabbath is Jesus. Jesus is my Sabbath rest. The great thing about that, church, is we can experience him 7 days a week. Hallelujah. But there is something special about the day. Hallelujah. But he is Lord of the Sabbath. Now, when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That they might accuse him. Religion is nuts, man. Here's a guy with a withered hand, and they're wondering if Jesus is going to work a miracle on the Sabbath, right? Plus, if you could also note, Jesus was on his way to the temple on the Sabbath. He was in the habit of going to the temple on the Sabbath. Many Christians will fight you on that. Oh, no. Jesus was out in the wilderness. Well, yeah, he was a traveling ministry. He had meetings. He had crusades, but he was in the habit of being in the temple on the Sabbath. Hallelujah. Behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? And he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep? If he falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much more value than is a man than a sheep? Therefore, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Or therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Glory to God. Now, they could have said, oh, you asked that man to do work, to stretch out his hand, right? How many know the lazy person refuses to do anything? Again, Rabbi Shulam addressed that issue. He's like, the Sabbath means 6 days of work, and then the seventh is a day of rest. He says there's a lot of people nowadays who think it's 6 days of rest. People who refuse to work. Somebody say, not in the household of faith. Faith without works is dead, right? Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Isn't it awesome? I'm using that completely sarcastically. When people in high places of authority who are getting tax dollars will use your tax dollars to try to kill somebody else who's doing something good. This is the same spirit here, right? And those kind of people, every week is a reminder that's going to be cut off. All evil is going to be cut off. Hallelujah, forevermore, right? Luke chapter 4. Take a look at that. Verses 16 through 21. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. As his custom was, he was on his way to the synagogue on the Sabbath. How many know Christians, believers, household of faith, we belong in church with other believers on the Sabbath, right? And Jesus is our example there, right? And he stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now, here's a good example of what we just heard about up here, where it says it's a heightened capacity to absorb more wisdom and insight. Everybody in that place, including us, this many thousands of years later, are going to hear something that came to us on planet Earth on the Sabbath day, right? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He's reading out of Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus is even born, right? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bound or oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. How many know it's good for people's eyes in church to be fixed on Jesus? Not on each other's inadequacies and issues, right? Even on our own issues. We don't come to church to focus on our own faults and issues. We come to fix our eyes on him. Hallelujah, right? And then we should do that the rest of the week too, right? And he began to say to them, remember, he just read this prophetic word. Today, say today, right? "This scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." That revelation of who he is came in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And it still echoes out there today. Hallelujah forevermore. Praise Jesus, right? Think of all that. He's the anointed one to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim that all that came on the Sabbath day in the temple. And that same Spirit is here with us today. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. Let's look at one more, Acts chapter, and we'll close with this one. This is Acts chapter 13. Again, we're talking about some of the things that the Apostle Paul encountered. He had just spent a lot of time ministering to these people on the Sabbath in the temple, and it came to this. You can read the whole chapter, right? But it said, so he concluded his remarks, and it says the Jews got up and left. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, how many know when church ends, there's a lot of people just want to get to Denny's right away or get out, go to lunch, hurry up and say amen. The religious person wants out of church, right? I've already heard that message preached. I know more than you know anyway. I know who you are. Just say amen so we can all go. And I have a feeling Paul is one of those guys that can just keep going and going and going. But when you're locked on to Jesus, man, you're just drawing from that. So we don't want to be like the religious people, and you don't want to group all Jews into things. That's a verse that people could use in anti-Semitism. Well, then all the Jews. No, this wasn't all. This was the religious leaders of the day. They were political pawns in a lot of cases, right? Amen. But we shouldn't be like religious people to just say amen and just get me out the doors so I can go back to, you know, it's beer 30. No, it isn't, right? So when the Jews went out from the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. There's people in there that are so hungry for the truth that they can't wait for next Sabbath. Somebody say, I am hungry for more. I am hungry for more of God. Oral Roberts, he said that statement. He brought Kenneth Copeland in the early days of their ministry to come and teach him faith in his living room. And he's like, and they thought they were being invited in for him to teach them something. And he had them sit on the floor, and he said, "Teach me faith." And they're like, "What? You want us to?" And he's like, "You are about, you know," he's like, "I am the hungriest man for the word of God." Right? So just because we've been in this for a while doesn't mean we can't stay hungry. Right? Hallelujah. The Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Hallelujah. That's another thing that honoring God at church does, is it enables us to continue another week in the grace of, not in the do's and don'ts, not in the wills and won'ts, but to continue in Jesus. Hallelujah. And then it says, on the next Sabbath day, listen to this, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Can anybody just imagine that? You know, God gave us imaginations for a reason. Can you imagine the whole city coming to church? Be like, whatever's happening there, we need to hear this. We are on our way to hell in a handbasket, and we are, you know, failing, and we're drifting, and got curses and diseases and evil and darkness and diseases and hopelessnesses and strifes and racisms and all this crazy perversion. Tell us what, we want to hear what you're saying in there. Hallelujah, right? I would say this. The whole city knows when we're meeting and where we're meeting. The whole city knows where the church is and when they're open. There's even some places around town you'll hear a bell. Bong. Camp, downtown campus at noon every day. Bong. It's a reminder. Turn to God. Hallelujah. Can you envision the whole city coming? There's a church Karen told me about through my mom. She brought me some literature, some advertising. There's a church in Oregon that's having an event at the Moda Center in August for 2 days. What an awesome step of faith, right? But the church, the city, the people out there, most of them you would think know that's a church. Although I have been in some areas of town where churches are no longer churches. Through all the COVID stuff, they shut down. And there's even one in downtown Portland, it's called The Old Church. And there's a sign on the door that says, "This is not a church." And yet it's called The Old Church. There's one at the beach that used to be a sanctuary. And now it's called the Every Something Sanctuary. Like, we're open to everything. Right? There's another one in Portland that I drove by the other day that was associated with a Bible college that's now some kind of a government building. Right? I mean, if we stick with the truth, then we will be refreshed, and the church itself will have the spiritual energy to keep going. If not, it's literally, you know, God the Father is also like a farmer who comes to prune. Amen. Glory to his name forevermore, right? Somebody say, "I'm sticking with Jesus." And one good way you know you're in a church that's doing the right thing is they use this. They read from it. They talk about it. They preach on it. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. On the next Sabbath, it says, verse 44, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. They didn't come for a car show. They didn't come for the coffee shop. They didn't come, you know, for the cute girls or whatever, right? They came to hear the word of God preached. Glory to his name forevermore. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Religious people get real envious. Real envious. Right? And contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. That's why the devil is called the adversary, because he'll say things adverse, opposite to anything this book says. And he'll use this book to criticize this book. Amen, right? But we're not of the religious people. We are people that are in love with Jesus and want to make room for more people to get saved and born again, even if it means the whole city. Who would be open to the whole city showing up? Because I'll tell you what, you know what that means? More work. It means multiple services, multiple days, property and buildings. I've had a dream before of occupying the Colosseum. And you know what that would be? 24/7 people there at all times to minister to people off the streets, to have revivals, to have worship nights, to have things for the youth, to have Sunday services, to have baptisms. You know what I'm saying? If you have something of that magnitude, closed is not a word we use. And it means there's a lot more people doing a lot more things all the time. I've been in ministries before. God, great ministries. One where they asked me to help with an Easter presentation. They had all these ideas about what they should do for an Easter present. And I said, how about if we just tell them what happened? What? We never thought of that. Let's talk about Jesus and what he did. And we came up with a script and an outline. And they were all excited about it, right? You know what they weren't excited about? Doing it any other day but Sunday morning. I was like, guys, once this thing is going, we could do it the entire week, every night. They shut that name. No. They didn't want to work that hard. Today, the church is still there, but all the land they had that they could have built upon is now owned by apartments and shopping centers. And it's like, you know, that's great for business, but there could have been a bigger move of God right here if somebody just would have said, let's work a little harder, right? Let's work a little harder. When the harvest starts coming in, it is time to go to work. Because we ain't letting anybody die out there on the vine, right? When it says the harvest is abundant, but laborers are few, somebody say, I am a laborer. And a lot of that comes through just, I know we're not seeing a ton of activity here right now in terms of numbers, right? But we can all be interceding for a move of God in this region, not just limited to what's happening right here. Pray. Somebody say pray. Make your efforts, and intercession is so key to any move of God you've ever seen throughout the world. Prayer is so vital. Interceding, praying in the Spirit, calling people in. When you're driving across town or seeing something on the news, you instantly begin to intercede. And that word about throughout the week, have Sabbath in mind. Who can I invite to church? Right? There was one thing that, this is the Holy Ghost we're talking about, okay? They talked about in the Shamash special clothing. And I've had this thing lately on trying to up my standards, if you haven't noticed, on how I present myself. Right? Because it's a mindset, and it's an honoring to God, and it's a prosperity thing, right? But I've had it literally in the past month or two. I've found jackets, and I just feel like, oh, just get that and set it aside for Sunday. Set it aside for Sunday. And then I read almost word for word in the Shamash, clothes that you might see and set aside for the Sabbath, right? But how much more? Jesus talked about a sheep in a ditch. If you find a human being in a ditch, in their life, in the ditch of life, man, it's time to give them a hand and just say, you know what? Come to church. Get into church. Get into a meeting. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. And we're praying that way. Their eyes will be opened and their hearts will be ready to respond. Hallelujah. And it says here in verse 46, after all of that, right? Even in the midst of opposition, there will be opposition. You understand that, right? That might be why I'm watching Rocky right now. Rocky had to deal with lots of opposition, right? But he refused to stay down. He kept swinging. He understood his purpose and the plan for his life, and he refused to just stay in the ditch. And here's Paul and Barnabas' response to the opposition, right? Paul and Barnabas grew bold. And they said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. Talking about church people. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. Right? So all those people that maybe we continue to reach out to and they just keep saying no, no, or have reasons. I mean, we've had people that have come here before and don't come anymore because they found something to be offended at. Those aren't the people we're looking for. We pray for them, but if you're going to nitpick any little glitch and find an offense at that, I cannot use you. I can't tell you this. I can't use you. We have to be stronger than that. But the people that are usable are out there, and we call them in the name and by the blood of Jesus, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Honoring the Sabbath could save a city. Just you being here today gives them an opening to come in. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and we'll pray and just thank God for his word today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for your words, Lord. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and thank him. Lord, we thank you for your help. We thank you for your Sabbaths. We thank you for the reminders that you've given us of who you are. You are Lord of the Sabbath. You are Lord of our lives. You're Lord of our days. You're Lord of our thoughts, our words, our behaviors, our actions. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord God, that by preaching your word and honoring you and being in the practice of loving you first, that it will leave the door wide open for other people to come running in, to be saved, to be delivered, to be healed, to be restored, and to receive the same hope that we have. We call them in right now from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Those people that are in the ditch on the Sabbath day or any other day. And we reach out our hand of faith and we pull them out and into the plan and purpose of God for their lives. And we give you the praise and the glory. You know that church I was telling you about? And they're wonderful people. No, I'm not knocking churches, but they didn't want to work that hard. And you know what they said that Sunday morning when we did that presentation? They said they had more people saved in that service than they'd ever seen. Just think if we had done it a few more nights. Oh, Jesus, we call them in. We see the harvest, God. We commit ourselves to be workers in your harvest field. You will fill your house up on Sabbath days with praise and worship. And during the week, as we meet with people, as we go to work, as we go home to our families, and just that your light would shine and shine and shine and shine, and that people would be drawn closer to Jesus through our lives. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.